We are turning our attention now to the plastic pollution in the Great Lakes. Thanks for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and great to have with us Lorena Reyes Mendoza. She is a professor of chemistry at UW-Superior. She studies environmental chemistry pollution and has a specific focus on microplastic pollution. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about her work and research, and you probably are as well. And just a note here as a side note, we'll be talking more about how you can reduce plastic use in your daily life. Next Wednesday, February 18th, we're going to hear from members of the Viroqua, what's called Viroqua Plastic Free, and they have some pretty creative ideas on how to cut back your own use of plastic or at a community level as well. But for now, we're zeroing in on the Great Lakes. And, you know, you live near the Great Lakes. How often do you see plastic pollution maybe around your own area? Have you seen it affect fish and wildlife firsthand? Give a call with your questions or comments. The number 800-642-1234. You can email us to talk at WPR.org. Professor Lorena Reyes Mendoza, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
How microplastics, they form when essentially plastic pollution, when plastic breaks down. But these are really small particles. Can we even see them with the naked eye?
You know, yes, we can see the macroplastic, the microplastic, and we have the nanoplastic or microscopic plastic that we can really not see it but naked eye. You know, it's like here in the Great Lakes, you can in the Lake Superior, you can go and collect sample and maybe you don't see it anything. But and then when you observe the, if you filter the water and observe under the microscope, you start to see in this very tiny particles of plastic. And how we know that it's plastic is because we have some analytical instrumentation that we can know if it is really plastic or not.
So, have you been looking at this for several years, if I'm not mistaken? has it changed much? Is it getting, are we seeing more or?
Yes, every time it's increasing because the production of the plastic is increasing and the microplastic, because coming from one container that is breaking and breaking in smaller pieces, this is continuing increasing. For example, it would stop right now, the production of the plastic, doesn't mean the microplastic decreased the amount. It's continuing increasing because it's breaking and breaking. And we have the microplastic from the big items of plastic, but we have a microplastic in very small sizes that are produced in that size by the industry for different things that they want to use.
And they land in the, wind up in the lakes often.
In the lakes, in the rivers, in the ocean, yes.
And once they're here, or once they're there, I should say, in do they ever go away?
Unfortunately, we don't have like a magic vacuum that we can take it all and trap, you know. There are some projects in the ocean mainly that they want to try to keep it, you know, all this plastic in the surface because we have that problem. The plastic has different densities. And then some of the plastic can float in the water, but other and most of them go down, go to the sediment. And it depends what is the physics in the place. You know, sometimes if the water is moving a lot, like in the ocean, these plastics go far away from the coast. But here in the lake, you know, we don't have really waves, yes. And then it's just moving. It's like the lake vomit. On the beach, the plastic, but again, take it again and put it again and take it again until it's ending in the sediment.
So when you take, now I'm interested in how you take samples or and where. I mean, you go out in the middle of the lake. Do you? How do you do that?
Yes, we collect the sample in the surface water using a net.
Okay.
That has the sizes like a 300 micrometers. This mean, I don't know, it's very tiny.
Yeah.
That you need the microscope to see it, you know? And then we filter the water for 1 hour, for example, and maybe we can filter like 7,000 liters of the water, and this will be one sample. And we did the same in the ocean, in the river, in surface water. And for the, we collected in the sediments, and then we take the sediment in the bottom, and we take it the surface, and we separate the plastic from the sediment.
Okay, so you're looking at all the areas then, even in the sediment.
Yes, we can collect in the sediment, in the water column, and the on the beach, yeah, and the fish and the stomachs, yeah.
So, basically, what are you? I wondered if you is there any new discoveries or what have you found in there, in your sampling?
You know, that we found it is that we have a lot of fibers, that is, some of them are plastic, some of them coming from natural polymers like cellulose or cotton. But mainly, you know, working with these tiny, tiny particles is so difficult because we need to have a very clean laboratories to do it. And then sometimes, you know, like in some paper, they say that they found it microplastic in the brain, in the sperm, in the human milk, or placenta, for example, yeah? But these sizes of particles, honestly, I don't think that can transfer to the cell membrane. But I'm not saying they don't find it. They found it, but maybe it's contamination from the lab.
Oh, okay.
And then we need to be very careful when we analyze these particles because they are so small and we have a plastic everywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, just on the face of it, nobody wants plastic or probably anything else ingested into their system. But, I mean, what are the... I mean, I certainly wouldn't want plastic floating around in my brain. But I mean, what are the kind of the major health concerns relating to this in your mind?
You know, I think the main problem with the plastic is that this can work like a trap or like a sponge for other pollutants in the water. You have other contaminants in the water and they can be absorbed by the plastic. And then the plastic is moving in the water and is concentrated all these toxic compounds. And then when this particle is ingested by the fish, for example, this contaminant can transfer in the system of the fish and they can make a damage in the fish. But the question here is when you eat it, that fish, the damage going to your body or what happened? But plastic itself is more like a transport of this kind of contaminant.
So,
and the smaller particles can concentrate more contaminants.
So those little plastic particles collect all the, you're saying, they collect all the contaminants that, other contaminants that might be in the water. And so it's their ability to do that really makes them much more dangerous, I guess we could say.
There's more damage that they are doing just because they are cleaning the water. Yeah, but the problem is how we can take it, all these particles from the water, or how we can say to the, or prevent that the fish or whatever organisms don't eat it.
Oh, man. Lorena Rios Mendoza, our guest today, Professor Lorena Rios Mendoza, is professor of chemistry at UW-Superior, and she's looking at focuses on microplastic pollution, especially in the Great Lakes. Questions for her, comments, experience, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. I'm told that clothes, part of the microplastic problem? Does clothing even play a role in this?
What do you say? The coal, the energy?
Clothes, you know, what we're wearing, the clothes we're wearing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because most of the clothes that we are wearing is plastic. Yeah, and then now they are doing this substitution for the plastic with the cellulose, you know, that is natural from the plants. But they are putting some chemicals that at the end that we have is a semi-synthetic plastic.
Oh.
And then we end in the plastic. And the problem with the plastic is that they can stay forever in the planet.
And I guess you wash your clothes. I'm thinking about this now. You get the washing machine. I threw some clothes in the washing machine last weekend. They are potentially then that water has a potential to reach the lake or the ocean.
Yeah, you know that I'm saying, well, all these fibers, you know, when you dry it, and you see how a lot of fiber is taken from just the dryer. All this going to the air, yes, and this is why we say that we are breeding plastic, just for all these fibers, and yes, and this is a big source of contamination and everything. You know, maybe you cleaning the clothes, go into the drain and go to the wastewater treatment plant, but they don't have the capacity to retain all these kind of particles.
Yeah,
and they go to the river, go to the lake, go to the ocean. And we take this water for the drinking water. And then the question is, are we drinking plastic too?
Boy.
And this is one of the projects, the new project that I have is to find the standardization and the monitoring of the drinking water here in the United States and in different countries.
So you're doing your research is kind of focusing around the world then in some ways?
Yes.
Talk about that a little more. So you must have people collaborating with you in order to get the samples and everything else.
Yes. Actually, I'm working already with the International Atomic Energy Agency. That they are providing to different countries that living in close to the ocean with the kits, you know, and the analytical instrumentation to collect the plastic. And then I'm working with them, I'm training them how to collect the sample, how to process the sample, how to analyze the sample. Yeah, because this is one of the projects with the global items, you know,
yeah,
that the plastic debris is one, and then is the macroplastic, and then we have the microplastic, and this is that we want to do it. And this is the one project, the other project that I'm working already with the Long Beach, California, that is the plastic intelligent, that we want to know what's going on with the drinking water. But we need to be sure that whatever that we report is true or not. We don't want to do like all this paper, you know, that they say in the brain or something that you cannot explain how they found it, the particles, you know. We need to be sure that we have the clean lab to analyze this and do it internationally. And the other project that I will start maybe at the end of this year or next year is to work in the microplastic in the Antarctica.
Oh, in Antarctica.
Yes.
So it's, in other words, it's found pretty much everywhere, or you're trying to find out everywhere. The extent to which.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I have 3 years ago, I have a filter from the International Space Station, and we found the microplastic. Yes.
In the International Space Station.
Yes. cats.
Oh my goodness. Collected outside, is what you're saying.
Yes, in this international space, they have the filter for the HEPA filter for the air, you know, and they bring in the here in the earth to analyze for bacteria, virus or something. And then when they finish with this, I say, okay, give me the filters. And then I want to see if they have a plastic. And yes, I found the plastic.
Well, you know, Clara Neipert, the producer for the show, she was telling me that microbeads, and I'm not sure, but microbeads can be found in health and beauty products. Are these the same as these microplastics?
This is microplastic, yes. That is in pellets. Some microplastic are produced by the industry for different uses, yes? And the cosmetic products and some medicines are used for that. And there are very, very tiny sizes. That is called microbeads or pellets, because pellets are in 5 millimeter size in size, and is the way that the plastic industry transport the plastic, you know, because it's like they can carry like a water, because it's a small sizes, and then they go to different industry and they can do whatever they want to do it.
So certainly some concerns I would think there. How concerned are you about microplastics entering our body?
You know, I think my main worryness is that if you ingest the plastic, that you can do it. You can breathe and you can ingest, because you're drinking, you eat it, that this plastic contains some contaminants.
Yeah.
And the contaminants are very small molecules, and that they can run in your body. The plastic are not really small molecules, are huge molecules. The sizes is very small, but still, the molecule is so big.
What are some solutions that scientists are working on to remove microplastics from lakes and oceans?
The number one is to stop the source.
Yeah.
And what is the source? We are the source, because we are using the plastic. Of course, it's not our fault, you know, like, I used this and I disposed that, but the plastic industry never told you how to do it, you know? And they say, oh, it's because the city, the state, the country doesn't have a really good way to handle the garbage. And it is not true, because they are producing one product that is not really nice with the nature and cannot be biodegradable. This is the problem.
So we need to change that system, is what you're saying. What do you change then? How do you change it?
Number one is so painful to stop the use of plastic. Why? Because you find it everywhere. You know, we're using plastic for everything. And if you ask to the young people, they don't know how to live with a plastic, you know. But you and me, we remember the glass, for example, yes, of different materials. But and then when the plastic is coming, the plastic is so beautiful. Yeah. But and then the first thing is to stop to using plastic. And if you have a plastic at home, reuse and reuse. Yes, don't buy a new one. Of course, it's ugly, but it's okay. You just keep it, you know. In my case, for example, I changed to everything in glass, but I have my old plastic yet with me.
Yeah.
And when I'm going to, I don't know, whatever food outside or something, I can see how normally I bring my cup or something, but I can see how the people is using plastic cups, you know. One time, 5 minutes, throw away. And then can stay in the nature more than 40 years, floating before that one animal eat it.
Yeah. Well, as you were talking, I was thinking about, I always take my WPR bag with me when I go on Saturday mornings, for example. I might go to the grocery store or I stop at the Batch Bakehouse, or I go to the bookstore. I might purchase a book, but I put them all in my WPR bag. Which
yeah, this is good because you can reuse a lot.
Yeah, it's one thing that we can. I guess what I'm getting at is what are some things, and we're going to be talking about this next Wednesday, at least about what Viroqua is doing, the organization there on plastic use, or eliminating plastic use in their community. And I think maybe a community effort. Would a community effort be? It's certainly up to each individual, I'm guessing. But community efforts could help.
Yeah, because everything is in education. You know, if the community doesn't know that the plastic in reality, they put it in the garbage can and just disappear. But the reality is never disappear, just they don't see it. Yeah, and then they think that just disappear, it's okay. But now when the Asia closed the doors about the plastic from the rich countries, and here in the United States, you start to see more plastic. And then we start to see the problem.
Yeah.
And what is the solution that they found? It? Okay, maybe just burn the plastic, but and then when you burn the plastic, they contain another chemicals that is making more pollution in the air. And that is not the solution.
The solution is to eliminate the plastic.
Stop the source, yes. Not all the plastic, because it's impossible. Like in medicine, you know, in the prostheses, for example, it's good material for that. Of course, the people, the person that has the prosthesis died, but the plastic is there, you know. But it's less amount of plastic than in the plastic bag, for example.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, your research, you're going to be doing this the rest of your career. I'm betting, Loretta.
You know, I'm starting with this in 2003. And surprise me that it still is a hot topic. It's like every year the people is knowing and is acting like, it's a pretty new. No, it's no new problem.
Then going, well, you keep working on it. And
yes.
And when you find some more helpful solutions, Lorena, we'd have you back. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your call.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
Professor Lorena Reyes Mendoza, our guest today, professor of chemistry at UW Superior, and of course studying environmental chemistry pollution with a specific focus on microplastic pollution. Thanks so much to her for joining us. Now we're going to turn our attention to the ecology of an animal that I sometimes don't like very much, but I enjoy seeing them too, the groundhog. That next, I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.